asking if you'll just give us your name and where you live. You just give your name and where you live.
My name is William, but nobody knows that I'm Bill, and that's all there is. So.
And where do you live?
Bill Houlihan, 7-Eleven.
And now, how old are you? When were you born?
1891.
What was your birth date?
August the 14th.
1891. And who were your parents, Mr. William? You pronounce it Houlihan or Houlihan?
Houlihan. That's Houlihan. Two words.
Okay.
Meaning cow herder. In other words, my ancestors were farmers way back.
Are you Irish?
All the way. Oh. One of the few. Yeah. We got a lot of half-breeds, but very few.
Yeah. And now, when did you come to Crawfordsville?
In 1891, I was born down at 803 South Green Street.
Oh, and your parents had lived here then before you were born?
Oh, yes. My grandfather on my mother's side was a Sullivan, and he came in before the Civil War building the Monon Railroad. And then my father came in building the Big Four after the Civil War. Uh-huh. The Big Four, or other words, the ID&W, uh-huh. Indianapolis, Danville, and Western.
Yeah.
And then it was taken over by the Big Four.
Yeah. Now, in other words, you were on both sides of your family. You were had railroad people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a little of it myself.
Uh-huh. Now, you say your grandfather had come in with the Mona. What year would that have been?
Well, back in the 1850s, I imagine, around then there, because it was running. The Civil War was from 61 to 64, uh-huh. And they'd take a load of cattle to Chicago and then unload the cattle and load soldiers in there and bring them back. They'd come down through here going to Louisville.
Now, had your grandfather come over from Ireland then?
Yeah, he came in County Hellhill, Ballyhale, Limerick.
County Limerick, huh?
He came from Limerick, and he came just after he landed at Boston, and they were wanting men to build railroads out of Chicago. And he came to Chicago, and the Chinese tried to raise them, and they froze up. They couldn't build them. Mm-hmm. And the colored boy tried it, and they couldn't do it. And then they got the Wops, mm-hmm. and they couldn't do it. So then they got the Irish, and they done it. And it was the railroads.
Yeah. Now, was your mother also Irish?
Yeah.
And had she been? She had was born married in, before they came over here.
Sir,
had they been married before they came to this country?
My grandfather and grandmother? You may know. I suppose they met in Chicago, and then my mother, of course, she was born at Winchester, Indiana. It's a little town down between here and Louisville. I don't think it's even on the map anymore.
Now, did you say your father also worked on the railroad on the Big Four?
Yeah.
And what about your mother? Was she also Irish and had come over?
Yes. No, she was born in this country.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you were born down right here in town. You were born right here in Crawfordsville, right?
Yeah, 803 South Green.
Now, was your father working for the railroad at the time you were born?
Well, I don't think he was working for the railroad at the time I was born, but he was building roads, county roads.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they, my grandmother, she said after they got here that she was tired of living like a gypsy and to get a job where they could locate, and so they did. And
yeah.
he had done some butchering over in the old country, and he went to the slaughterhouse down here. Of course, it's Abitur now.
Yeah, where was the slaughterhouse?
Down in the valley.
Down by the creek?
Yeah, down to where it is now, you know, so they could dump it.
Yeah. All right, now, let's go on. Your father was working for the slaughterhouse down here, and you were born in whatever year it was, you were...
1891. 803 South Green Street.
Now, I suppose you were born in your home.
Wasn't any hospital.
Here.
No, we didn't have a hospital until later.
Now, where did you attend school?
Sister School on West Main Street.
That was the St. Bernard's?
Well, it was, like you can call it St. Bernard's. Of course, St. Bernard's was a church, but they had the school. The church was
right behind the church.
No, they had a school. They called that St. Charles Academy after they built that. This was just a small school, and it was originally an old house, and they tore the partitions out of a couple of rooms upstairs and a couple of rooms down. And when I went, the boys went downstairs and the girls went upstairs.
Just where on the...
It's on the corner of Grand Avenue and Main Street on the southwest corner. You know where the Durham home is?
Yes.
Right next to it, they're on the corner. It's been all tore down and rebuilt now.
Oh, the building is not there anymore?
No.
Now, how many grades did you go to there?
Only had eight.
Did you go to high school then?
No, well, I went to high school up here.
And did you go complete high school or just...
Well, I didn't complete. No, I dropped out my senior year. Because my father died when I was four, and I kind of had to scratch for myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes.
Well, what was your family? What did it consist of?
Three brothers and a sister.
Any of them still living?
No, they're all gone.
Uh-huh. Were they connected with railroading too? Or?
No, none of them. My two oldest brothers and my sister, after my father died, they had to drop out of school and go to work. One of them went to the wire mill, and one of them was with the Coca-Cola people.
Okay.
It wasn't so big back in those
days. Now, did you have any family?
I have one boy.
And what's his name?
James. He's a retired colonel on the Air Force.
Uh-huh. Is your wife still living?
No. She's been dead for 3 years.
Who'd you marry?
Bertha Thompson.
Just one marriage, was it? Just the one marriage, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's now deceased. All right, when you dropped out of high school, what did you do?
Well, I guess I first got a job driving a laundry truck.
For what laundry?
For Gosnell Laundry.
And that was a local Crawfordsville outfit?
Yeah, yeah.
Where was that located?
Down at the south end of Washington Street, at Dry Branch.
Well, that was the one that...
Then it later became known as a service laundry, and
yes.
Spears had it.
Spears had it, yes.
And, George Deere had it at one time, but John Pittman managed it for him.
Uh-huh. And how long did you work for the laundry?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't there. I expect I worked 4 or 5 years for him.
Mm-hmm. And what were your duties?
Well, I drove the truck and I come in and I...
Now that wouldn't have been a regular truck, would it? It would have been a horse and wagon or was it a truck?
Well, we started out with a horse and wagon and then we got a regular truck.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first Fords.
Uh-huh.
And I went out to the hospital and got the hospital and I... we had the hotels and things like that and... then I'd come in and do about everything but wash. I'd iron and work the mangle, run the extractor.
Yeah. And
for iron shirts on the board.
Now, who was the owner of that?
Well, Mr. Gosnell was the...
What was his first name?
I don't know, but then June Gosnell, that was his boy, and his son-in-law, Rudy Winkleplecht. They took it over.
Winkleplecht. How do you spell that?
W-I-N-K-L-E-P-L-E-C-K, I guess.
And he ran it then for a while, huh?
Yep. They're all dead and gone, of course.
Mm-hmm. And, were they Crawfordsville people? I never heard that name before.
He was originally from Illinois, and he married a Gosnell. And the Gosnells were from Crawfordsville.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Gosnell around town now. He's an ancestor. He'd be a grandson or great-grandson of the original Gosnell.
The laundry people.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what did you do after you left the laundry?
I got a job on the... I went to the service for a little while.
World War One.
And I wasn't there. I was sent to Fort Sheridan, Illinois, and I was only up there a short time, and the war was over. I didn't even register in.
Mm-hmm.
Then I come back, and I got the job back driving the laundry truck, and then I was picking up laundry over to the Interurban Station, and they needed a man.
Okay, what did you do then when you went to work for the...
I first was a freight agent for the Interurban, right there on Main Street, Main Street.
Whereabouts on West Main?
Well, they tore it down. It's just east of Crawford's Grocery there.
The old terminal building.
Yeah, right? The old terminal. It was originally built for YMCA, that building.
Yeah.
And then they decided that they wanted a swimming pool, so they built the Palmer apartment and made a YMCA out of it. And the same old story, they didn't do a very good job of draining it. And so every kid in town had trench mouth. Or
oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Well, better not put that on there. There'd be some women.
that's history now.
But that's right. And we had Alfrey. Mr. Alfrey came in here when he retired. He made his money making whiskey barrels, and he had to go where the oak was. Oak barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a plant up around Darling, Linden.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took it to Terre Haute, and there was a Terre Haute for a while, and then he left there and went down to Poplar Bluff, Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
where there was oak. And he made these barrels, and then he retired. He came back to Crawfordsville, and he wanted to do something for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So right away they got busy. They wanted to, they had the Y down there on Georgie Durham's father built that as a YMCA for the and it was run right.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course some of the women, they decided that their boy needed a swimming pool, so they got busy. And he gave, I'm not going to try to tell you how many thousand, but he was very generous. This was Mr. Alfrey.
For building the new
building, what is known as a Palmer today, yeah. But it was built, and they put a swimming pool in it, and they had a gym, of course, but no place for anybody to attend the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, basketball originated in Crawfordsville.
How did it happen that the old YMCA became the car barns or the station?
About the time, we had two stations, they had two tracks or two companies, mm-hmm. and they consolidated. And the Ben Hur line went broke, and the THINE took them over.
Yeah.
And when they took them all over, they didn't need two stations, so they consolidated.
Yeah.
And bought that and made one big station. And of course, they were very generous because they were still making that drive for this Y,
mm-hmm.
and they needed the money.
Yeah. So that when the two lines consolidated, they did away with one of the stations. Now, which station did they do away with?
Well, they done away with both of them. See, they had one right across the street here on East Main.
Where the Bank Cigar Store is?
Right there, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then they had one on Washington Street, just the first building.
Where the POS of A
building. POS of A building is today.
Uh-huh.
So then they consolidated them and brought them all in Main Street. And
well, now, that POS of A building, I'm sort of puzzled about that. Where did the interurbans come up and park there?
Well, they're right in the middle of the street.
On Washington Street?
On Washington Street, and then they had what they called a Y at Market Street. And they'd come in and unload, go down to Market Street and Y, see? And then mm-hmm. they'd come back, and they was headed then back to Indianapolis. That was your Ben-Hur tracks.
In other words, a triangle, so they could turn around?
Yes, yes, yes.
They'd
call it a Y,
mm-hmm.
just like you do a car today. You mm-hmm. head in and back out.
Yeah, okay. And they would turn the cars around over there on Market Street.
Yeah.
Where was it down, mean right there in the center of the street?
Oh, yes, right in the middle of the street.
Uh-huh. Now, about what year did that happen, that they consolidated those?
I don't know, around 1910, I guess. Something like
they
that.
Put them together in 1910, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, were you working for them at that time?
No, I didn't go to work for them until 1919.
Uh-huh. And, okay, now, tell us about something about the rolling stock that they had on that interurban line, the cars and so on. How many cars did they have?
Well, I don't know. They had quite a few cars, and of course, after they consolidated, they had the Lebanon cars and the Ben-Hur cars. And of course, the Ben-Hur cars were a little different, built a little different style, but they were on the same thing as the ones that came in from Lebanon. And then they put a curve around the First National Bank on the corner of Washington and Main, so they could get from one track to another. See, mm-hmm. when they were independent, they bucked one another and they didn't have anything, and they made a mm-hmm. curve there. And they always tried to get a curve around the courthouse, but city would never grant it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the curve.
I don't quite understand that. What do you mean by where did the Ben-Hur line come into town? How did it come in?
Down Wabash Avenue.
Yeah.
To the library.
Yeah.
And then turned and come north on Washington Street.
Yeah.
And then went down to Market Street and wide and come back.
Oh.
It
crossed the...
Right at the corner.
Lebanon line.
The intersection right of the...
It crossed the Lebanon line right there.
Right there, right. And then the Lebanon line came in on Main Street and went down to the 900 block on West Main Street and wide and come back up.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were the car barns?
Well, they were down at the north end of Washington Street. Bottle capping. Got part of them, and McDaniel, and down in there, they had pretty good stretch of ground down in there.
Uh-huh. And those, are any of those buildings still standing?
Well, the bottle capping has got a little of them, but not very much. Mm-hmm. McDaniel had them.
Excuse me. What about, wasn't there a car barn out on West Main Street?
Well, it was very small. It's the building still there. It sets back, it's in the 900 block, and it sets back off of the...
right. Now, you say there was also a car burnout on West Main Street.
THINE, or the Lebanon, came in, and they had room down there for two cars, and they just was parked there. They didn't do any repairing or anything like that. And then, when they done away with, that is, they didn't need them as a car barn, because they could take them down to North Washington Street, to that one, and they turned that into a paint shop. And for years, they used it as a paint shop. So and they painted their cars, and also brought the Lebanon cars in, and painted them down there.
Now, what about the powerhouse? Where was that? The powerhouse.
Powerhouse is down on Lafayette Avenue. Down there, it's known as Elston Park now. You ever notice that old building?
That's the old coke plant.
Well, yes. Well, it was built for a powerhouse. Uh-huh. And it was the Ben Hur's powerhouse.
Yeah. Now, did they have a line running down there too? Did they have a tracks running down to the powerhouse?
Yes, we used to have to go over on the big Monon. We interchanged with the Monon right back of Crab and Reynolds. The Farm Bureau now. Crab and Reynolds there. We interchanged with the big four, and we had to haul a coal, take the coal down. See? Okay. And a lot of things.
Now, you'd take the, you'd, where did that line, how did that line run from North Washington Street? Did it run down over the hill there? How did
it went down, right close to our new jail, and down that hill, and down to the firehouse, and It was pretty tricky business to set a coal down there, but we done it around. You see, these coal, you get a carload of coal, 50 tons in a car, and the coal alone weighs more than your motor, not even counting the car. And you got to have a good dry track, so we'd go down and get an empty. And as we went down, we sanded, and as we came back, we sanded the rails, and then when we went down, well, you had to have your brakes, your air brakes, set just right, so that it wouldn't get away from you, and it wasn't any foolishness.
Yeah, because it was quite a grade, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Is that grade still visible down there?
I think so, but I haven't been down in there in years, and I think you can get down at the end of Walnut Street. I think, and then you can find a trace of it.
Yeah.
And of course you can go down to the old firehouse and get on the south side of it, and you can see where they came in and spotted the cars.
Now, when back in those days, when you first went to work for them, how many trains a day were there to Indianapolis?
One every hour from 5 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night.
Were there any between 11 and 5 then?
No.
They just
And then there was one come in, got in here at 1 o'clock. He left Indianapolis at 11:30, the last one.
Every hour on the hour?
Every hour on the hour.
What about the Lebanon route?
Well, every 2 hours.
So that you'd have a train coming from Indianapolis on the Ben Hur division every hour, and you'd have one coming in on the Lebanon division every 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
And going out the same way.
Same way.
Now, would the how many people would be on a crew? Just two men.
Motorman and the conductor.
Well, what was your job?
I was a motorman.
And how long were you a motorman?
I don't know, about 15 years.
You started out there as a station agent.
Yeah, and you see, you operate under Public Service Commission, and you have to have at least 1 year either as a conductor or as a brakeman or something like that before you can qualify for a motorman.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where they get your motorman.
Yeah.
And, which is all right. You can't be when you're hauling people.
What kind of equipment did they have? What were the cars, the old straw seats, or what were they?
Oh, they had very nice plush seats, and they were nice and clean. They kept them clean on the inside and out both, and they had, before the vacuum cleaner to mount anything, they had a kind of a crude vacuum cleaner down at the shop. And they used to clean them inside, had a couple of women.
Uh-huh.
And they cleaned them on the inside, and then they had a man that moistened the windows just like that on the outside.
What about heating them in wintertime?
Well, we had steam heat. That is, we had a stove with hot water. It was like a hot water furnace.
Yeah.
And you fired it up in the front end, and it heated through
with
that
coal?
Spark. Well, you burnt hard coal.
Mm-hmm.
Or coke, generally hard coal. And yeah, I had a hard coal heater.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, how fast would those trains run?
Well, pretty hard to say. We didn't have any speedometer on them, but we could get them up over 60, 70 miles an hour around in a good straightaway.
It was almost all straightaway, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but then you had some hills and hollows and a few things. And between stations you could...
Did they keep the road bed up pretty well?
Very good, very good.
Uh-huh. What about, were there any derailments? You have many derailments?
Very seldom uh-huh. We ever had a derailment.
You probably carried... freight on that line too.
Oh yes, we done, and then stock. During World War I, the railroads were tied up, even their stock cars, with war material, raw material, going into the defense plants in the east. And these big defense plants would not put up a warehouse, because they'd rather pay $2 a day demurrage on that than to put up a warehouse, because they didn't know how long the war was going to last, and they would they didn't want a big warehouse and all that expense. Mm-hmm. So they just used them. So they had everything, you might as well say. And so the governor and it wasn't Brannigan. I forget now who the governor was. But he called the heads of all the interurban lines in. And they weren't equipped to haul livestock, you know. They hauled lots of freight, but not merchandise and stuff. But they called in all the heads of them and told them that it was up to them. They was going to have to move the stock. That the railroads couldn't do it because they had everything tied up, and even their box cars or their stock cars, or they were using them to haul defense.
Yeah.
So that's when they started hauling livestock. That was around about 1919 when they started.
Were these cars interchangeable with railroad cars?
Yes, sir.
For example, when you took that load of coal from the Monon, that was a Monon railroad.
That was a Monon railroad, and the difference in them was that your interurban cars had what they called a swinging coupling. You know, you couple them together. It swung, but your railroad cars is stationary. You got a very little play in there.
Yeah.
You see, and you can't. Well, if you brought a railroad car up and made these short curves, you generally had trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't make the turn.
Yeah. Now, when you started hauling freight then, would you haul just regular railroad freight cars on your line, is that right?
No, We could get them down to Monon, and we set them down in there, but very seldom we ever had a railroad car on the interurban lines.
I'm a little bit puzzled here, though. How could you get that Monon railroad car down to the power plant?
Oh, well, we could do that, but we couldn't go out on the, take them out on the main, which we did a lot of times, but we couldn't take them through the Indianapolis on account of that drawbar. Uh-huh. See, too short a curve.
Yeah. Now, did you have, did the interurban have its own locomotives?
Oh, well, we had those, yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any, that's the trouble. We didn't have anything. We didn't have no big heavy engines or stuff like that to haul them with. All we had was freight cars or a passenger car.
But you must have had some kind of locomotive to pull that load of coal down to the...
Oh, no, you could take a passenger car instead of...
And hook it onto the...
Yeah. Oh. See, it had draw bars on them.
Mm-hmm.
You could just...
Did the THINE have any locomotives as such, or were they all just passengers?
Well, they began on the Eastern Division.